Welcome back in hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. It's time for our Draft Outlook segment brought to you by Apple Collision Centers and by Farm Bureau Health Plans. And with that in mind, let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com and welcome in our good friend Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports. Charles, what's going on, brother? How we doing?
Do well, just hanging in there until we get this thing rolling. How you guys doing today?
We are doing great. Well, and thankfully, only about a week away from the draft. So we're getting close to. We're mock draft. I mean, I think we've looked at every single one of them out there, Charles, at this point. I will say a team that's intriguing to me is the Miami Dolphins. They've got two first-round picks, and you kind of floated this out, I think, yesterday on Twitter about kind of the misdirection that the Dolphins have thrown out there for the second straight year, where you're hearing a lot about the Dolphins. What did you mean by that? What do you think the Dolphins do here with their first couple of picks in the first round?
Yeah, I think it's interesting just because a year ago, you know, that was the one team where I feel like the last 7 to 10 days of the process, everyone was talking about Miami. And, you know, teams were all trying to figure out what the Dolphins were going to do, and there was rumors that they were going to move up, and you know, Detroit at number three. I think, you know, in a weird way, I think teams started to use Miami as leverage to try and see if they could get, you know, other moves to happen. Detroit, I'm pretty sure Detroit had floated out there that Miami was looking to move up to three and maybe take an offensive tackle. You know, and it was just, it all turned out to be BS. Like, it was, they stayed put. They took Tua. They were always going to stick and take Tua. And this year, Miami was the first team that I think, when you got past Trevor Lawrence, when you got past Zach Wilson, the only other guarantee that you kind of have heard from other front offices, oh, Miami's definitely taking Kyle Pitts at number six overall, if Kyle Pitts gets there. And, you know, but now it's, you know, hey, oh, they're looking to move out. Oh, maybe they're looking to move up because Atlanta, you know, they don't want Atlanta taking Pitts. And so is there a possibility that, you know, they could push to move to Atlanta's pick? All I know is that there's this feeling that Kyle Pitts there's no way Kyle Pitts gets past the Dolphins at six, and the Dolphins may have to actually move up to five or four to get Kyle Pitts. A lot of teams love Kyle Pitts. I made the joke, you know, the other day that if DK Metcalf had just reclassified himself last year as a tight end, he probably would have been top five. but, you know, that's what you hear about their two first-round picks is offense, you know, particularly skill positions. So I've heard Travis Etienne for their second pick in the first round, but that they, you know, they want to add a dynamic pass catcher, a dynamic runner, and start to build the skill position pieces around Tua. But I'll say this to the Dolphins, whoever inside that organization has figured out that, you know, misdirection is their friend, I think they've had a lot to do with the last two draft cycles of just, you know, flooding the zone with, oh, what are the Dolphins going to do?
All right, before we get back to draft stuff, Charles, emotional day in this country yesterday, hopefully an important day with the conviction of murderer Derek Chauvin. But my question for you is, like, how much of an idiot is Mark Davis?
Yeah, that tweet, the I Can Breathe tweet on the Raiders account was pretty stunning. And the crazy thing was how I ended up seeing it was Dawn and I were heading to dinner, and my phone, you know, I told her, hey, I'm going to, you know, not look at my phone for a little bit. And I probably had 7 or 8 text messages from different people and in front offices of NFL teams. And they were all sending me either screenshots of it or links to it. And were just like flabbergasted. They were like, what are the Raiders doing? Like, what? This is nuts. And when I finally saw it, I thought, oh man, they must've taken it down. like clearly this was, you know, not the most tasteful, you know, tweet in history. And when I looked, it was pinned to the top of their account. And I believe it's, as far as I know, before I got on, it was still pinned to the top of their account. And obviously Mark Davis is out there saying he's not, you know, he does not inclined to take it down. It's just.
Can you unpin it at least?
Man. What's that?
Like at least unpin it, maybe?
Yeah, you know, unpin it. Fine, you made a mistake, you know, and if you've been, take whatever is coming to you, and it just isn't. I don't know if he necessarily knows the ramifications. You know, I knew the phrase "I can breathe," you know, had been co-opted by, you know, groups that obviously disagreed with the reaction to George Floyd's death, and it almost became a mocking, you know, phrase. And you know, I saw Mark Davis said, "Look, I heard an interview with his brother, you know, said something to the effect of, you know, paraphrasing here, you know, I feel like I, you know, now we can breathe again." And so Mark Davis sort of picked that up, and I think it's a bad idea when teams, you know, co-opt sloganism, you know, around political events or human events in our country that shape it. And I think it's worse when you can't recognize you just made a mistake. Like, hey, I've been there. I mean, I've been on social media and tweeted out things that I thought were, you know, hey, brilliant, or maybe, you know, made a joke or whatever, and saw the reaction to it and thought, you know what, maybe that's just stupid. Like, what am I doing? Like, why? And you just got to eat it. You have to go, you know what, I made a mistake. I'm human. You know, it wasn't my finest moment, and this was probably not the finest moment for the Raiders. I texted somebody in the organization last night and just said, hey, what are you doing here? And he just shrugged. He texts back a shrugging emoji. I think they're kind of like, Mark's deal. We're just, you know, moving forward with what we need to move forward with.
Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports on the line with us for our Draft Outlook segment, brought to you by Farm Bureau Health Plans and by Apple Collision Centers. Charles, the Texans, obviously with the Deshaun Watson situation going on, you brought in Tyrod Taylor, but quarterback looking like it could be a pressing need for the Texans as they move forward here. But you look at the draft, I mean, they don't have a first or second round pick at the moment because of trades that have been made. Like, what sort of activity do you expect the Texans to have in the draft? Could they take a quarterback upcoming in this draft?
Well, I think, you know what I think is interesting is I definitely think you have the Patriots, and I do think that Nick Casario, the general manager with the Houston Texans, would have some interest in Jimmy Garoppolo was to become available. A lot of it has to do with sort of what the price is, and I think you have not only those two organizations, but others that might, you know, see, okay, well, what is Jimmy Garoppolo a cheap, you know, something that's cheaply available at this point? I think everyone's waiting to see if the 49ers are posturing or not, and you know, with the thought process that, look, they're going to take a quarterback at 3. Everybody now is hot on this idea of, and supposedly somebody close to Kyle Shanahan made the mistake in a social setting of leaking that Trey Lance is going to be the 3rd pick. Again, these are always the fun cocktail party stories.
Ah, yes. And someone just bought a house somewhere, and et cetera, et cetera.
No, I don't say exactly what it was, but it was someone who's very close to Kyle Shanahan's proposal was in a very social setting and was running his mouth about, oh, they're taking Trey Lance at 3. And so, you know, the thought process is, look, if the Niners are taking a quarterback at 3, realistically, they're going to listen to, you know, offers for Jimmy Garoppolo either now, or they're going to pull a Carson Wentz, Sam Bradford situation. And, you know, if they have to wait until, you know, training camp to get the value they want out of Jimmy Garoppolo, that's when they'll consider it. But I think that's one of those guys that the Texans, knowing that they can't draft a quarterback right now, will have to sit there and take a look at. They're in this spot with Watson where I think they're trying to contemplate value-wise if they're ever going to be able to get anything out of him, you know, when it comes to trading him. Again, I don't think there's any chance he ever plays for the organization again. And, you know, but they're in a situation where they don't know how the league's going to react to this. You know, the investigation into Watson, you know, could very well sit him down between now and the draft or between now and the regular season. And they're just sort of strapped to this asset that I think now they would be more than happy to move and they just can't get it done. So it's Nick Caceres turned out over a ton of that roster. I think it's going to be at least a year before they really have the quarterback position meaningfully, meaningfully addressed. But it'll be a lot like it was this offseason, where I think you're going to continue to see veterans who are going to be available, you know, going right into next year. I think we're actually entering an era where quarterbacks become a little more of a movable commodity in the NFL. It's funny, I was talking to Sean Payton about it, and he's like, look, man, don't say this is a trend. He's like, you know, it's been two off seasons where some stuff has happened. He was like, but it's not a trend yet. I don't know. I think teams are starting to look at quarterbacks and go, look, we're not strapped to these guys forever. We don't have to be. And you watch, I'm going to call it right now. I think Russell Wilson is going to be a conversation yet again next offseason.
Well, on the quarterback discussion as it relates to the draft, Charles, what did you make of our friend Mike Rosenberg went out and spent some time with Trevor Lawrence. I was very impressed with his interview. I was impressed with him afterward, but kind of a firestorm. I guess maybe it's kind of predictable, but what was your takeaway from all of that?
I mean, you made the mistake of being honest. You know, when I read it, I was like, I didn't have any. I'm like, I get it. You know, I see what the guy's saying. Like, it's he's, you know, I think with Lawrence, and I do think it happened with Luck, any of these guys that are clearing away the number one pick and teams really love them, you get closer and closer to the process of taking the player, and people will latch on to almost anything, you know, some little thing they want to nitpick. And normally it's not the player who says it, but I'll give you an example. I remember Myles Garrett, you know, it was coming down to him. He was going to end up being the number one pick for the Cleveland Browns. And, you know, just the, oh, he loves dinosaurs. Like, what a weird guy. He's a weird guy.
And get him out of here.
Bring up all these things that, like, like, and I'm just like, this is stupid. Like, really? And I remember Greg Williams went to work him out right before the draft. And Greg Williams just had, like, a brutal workout with him and, you know, beat the living hell out of the kid in a workout. And Greg Williams was like, I don't care what he's like. I don't care if he, you know, I don't care if his favorite dinosaur is Barney. He's like, he's going to be an unbelievable defensive end. He's like, this is stupid that people are even talking about this. And that, God. I kind of thought about that with Trevor Lawrence. I think it's okay for guys to admit, hey, you know, I love football, but I don't necessarily have this maniacal need to, you know, it forms every part of my being. So what I sort of took away from him, you know, saying that, like this idea of one-dimensionality with players, like, are we still have to do that? The NFL, one thing that bothers me about the NFL and always has is this notion that the NFL has to always prove to everybody how much more dedicated everybody in the NFL is versus every other sport. You know, you see coaches have a bed in the office and they work 20 hours a day and all these things. And I'm like, you know what? That's not really healthy. Like, that's kind of dumb. And if we didn't learn something this last offseason, we learned something. You didn't have to do all the craziness and be in the building all the time and tell everyone we are literally eating, sleeping, and doing nothing but football all the live long day. Guess what? You didn't do that last offseason, and things were okay. The sport didn't fall apart. It actually had some upside to not, you know, telling everyone we're in the facility all the time. We're doing this all the time. Everything, it's all we think about. It's, I don't know. It's got to get past that idea of, you know, selling to everyone constantly that all you think about is football and that's what's most important.
I mean, heck, the Titans last year didn't even practice for a week. They came out and just whooped up on the Bills, man.
Right, right. And that was the thing. Part of what happened last year, certain elements of that narrative of, you have to do all this and you have to burn the midnight oil and you have to burn yourself out on football to be great. It wasn't really true. It just wasn't. And I don't think that's not what coaching staffs necessarily want people believing. That's not what front offices want people believing, because so much of football is an element of control. And I think that plays into what Lawrence just said. What he said is something where he's challenging control. He's challenging this. He's like, I am in control. That's what I felt like. I am in control of what I love and what, you know, this is a part of who I am and what I want to be, but it's not the only thing that makes me up. And I think that sometimes scares the narrative of how teams want to be run. They want control over everything all the time.
Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road for our Draft Outlook segment, brought to you by Farm Bureau Health Plans and by Apple Collision Centers. Charles, great stuff as always, my friend. We appreciate you taking time to join us this morning.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Look forward to talking to you guys next week. Let's try to get through a week without the Dolphins trading, 27 yes. trade scenarios between
that's
now and next Tuesday.
That's right.
Let's do some more mock drafts, too, because we haven't done enough of those.
Mock draft version 347.
Yes. That's right. Charles will have it for you next Tuesday, 9 o'clock. We'll talk to you then. When we come back, right. We'll react to a little bit of what Charles had to say there and take your thoughts as well on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.